Oh, I got a word for you. You came hungry, and I got like 12 messages, but I'm going to condense it down to 5. You're welcome. Genesis chapter 1. My question is this. When is the Holy Ghost moving? Now, you're taught well here. Pastor says a lot of the same things that I say. When I hear him ministering, like even on the offering and just exhorting with certain things, I'm like, praise God. I mean, he flows with the Holy Ghost, but he's a word man too. I believe in the Word and the Spirit, and I believe right now in Jesus' name that we'll never be the same again. Lives are being changed. The ministering spirits and angels of God are in this place. The Holy Ghost is saturating us fresh again tonight. Thank you, Lord, for your fire. Thank you for your Word. Thank you for revelation knowledge flowing freely from your throne to our hearts in Jesus' name. Somebody say, I'll never be the same. Say, I'm expecting. Not just something. I'm expecting from God. Hallelujah. So when's the Holy Ghost moving? Well, brother, it depends how much we've prayed. Now, prayer does not make the Holy Ghost do something. Prayer doesn't make the Holy Ghost move. Prayer helps us move with the Spirit who's already moving. Well, we're just praying and we're believing God for a real move of the Spirit. Well, what we're really saying... appreciate that happening from time to time in my meetings. It's just, if everybody did it at once, that'd probably freak me out, but that's all right. But listen, he is saying this, if he's already moving and we're praying for a move of the Spirit, then are we praying amiss? Well, the answer is yes. Because we're praying for something that is already happening. That's why if you noticed, when I prayed for your healing, I didn't pray the way you thought I would. And guess what? We had the results that you didn't get for 20 years until now. Or whatever. Now, I don't mean that arrogantly. I'm just saying if it doesn't work, God's not the one that needs to change. If it's not working, then I need to see what did I need to do. What is it that I'm not doing right? Well, he told me this. He said, stop praying for the Spirit to move. He's already moving. And he took me to Genesis chapter 1 and he showed me this. In the beginning of God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. We don't even get to the second verse of this big book, this holy book. We don't even get into the second verse before we already see what is the Holy Spirit doing? He's moving. When did He start moving? The day we see it here in the Word of God. He's been moving since the beginning of this world. Well, brother, what about Acts chapter 2 and Acts 4? And they were all on the day of Pentecost in the upper room and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And the Spirit gave them evidence to speak in other tongues. The Spirit gave them power and evidence with fire. And the Spirit, yeah. But that doesn't mean that was His first entrance on this earth. That was His first entrance into man to live. Well, let me ask you this. If we see all throughout the Old Testament the Holy Spirit moving, and oftentimes, the Holy Spirit is also referred to as the glory. Is it possible that the glory was here before we ever started worshiping? Is it possible that He was already moving before we ever got here? So what does prayer and worship do? It doesn't do anything for Him in the sense of making Him do something because of my intense worship and my intense prayer. It gets me to the place to where I'm able to flow with the One who's flowing. That I'm able to move with the One who's moving. They that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. If my worship was the one that moved Him, then the Holy Spirit would be led by me instead of me being led by Him. I worship Him because He's already here. I don't worship Him to get Him to show up. I mean, that's why, really, when we started singing in the Spirit right there, I was so grateful because we do not see a whole lot of pastors that move and flow and sing in the Spirit like that. I felt like I was at home. Glory to God. You better believe it. I finally get to minister in a church where my hair is accepted. Yeah, we'll talk about that later. We sell my toupee on the table if you... I don't want to get too close in case there's a transference of spirits. looks good on you. I'm not kidding. You look great. Praise God. That's why God gave me a lot of hair, is because he goes, man, that would be ugly if you were bald. And you ain't that great now. But anyway, so here we go. So is the Holy Spirit moving in here? Well, the answer is yes. And when has He been moving? Since Genesis chapter 1. So listen, how do I learn to move with the Holy Spirit? That's where my prayer life comes in. That's where my worship life comes in. That's where my study of the Word comes in. Because if He's moving here all the time, and let me show you this too. A lot of times we judge a service too harshly based on things where we haven't been spending time with the Lord. Let me just be honest. We'll come in and we'll judge a service where we haven't been spending time with God. We haven't really been studying the Word like maybe we should. Because if you have been studying, you have been praying in the Holy Ghost, and you have been worshiping, nothing's going to tell you He ain't here. Everybody's going to be looking at you and going, I wish that lady would calm down. But the thing is, when you've been feeding the fire, you can't help but burn. But then we come in a carnal state. Hear me, that means an earthly realm. We're more focused on the things below. And we want to judge, well, Pastor's message wasn't that great today because I didn't really feel the Spirit. I didn't really feel the presence of God. Or I don't like that guy from Tulsa. I didn't really feel anything. And but you can't argue with fruit, praise God. I mean, you know the tree by the fruit. And there was a lot of miraculous fruit already today. And there's happening right now. But let me ask you this. What's this gentleman's name right here with the Key West shirt? What's your first name?
Jim.
Praise the Lord. Now, how many of you all know Jim? How many of you were thinking about Jim before I mentioned Jim? Are you with him? I would lift your hand just to be nice. I was. All right, praise the Lord. All right, now, ladies and gentlemen, that is Jim. Some know him, some don't. But the thing is this, that every time I walk towards Andre, he moves. Anyway, no. Where's Mike, the man that picked me up? There he is. We saw a couple flippers on the way here to church, didn't we? We're like, hey, what's their problem? Anyway. But anyway, you're number one too, buddy. But anyway. And I thought one was Andre, but it was a tinted window. I couldn't tell. So Jim is here. Did you know laughter does good like a medicine? So change the sourpuss, non-medicinal face. You know what I mean? There's some people that can't believe we're having a good time in church. Dear God, it has been proven biologically by non-Christian physicians that say that when you smile or you laugh, even when nothing's worthy of smiling about or laughing about, your brain cannot tell the difference and it reacts to your action. And those send off endorphins and chemicals throughout your body. And this is the kicker, that have been known to cure every disease that man has no cure for. Yeah. I would just smile if I were you. I'd give those dentures some shine time. Come on now, hallelujah. Woo! But then there's some people that just have to be so serious to let us know how deep they are in the Spirit. Nothing happens in their life. Nothing happens in their ministry. But they're deep. It's like a good Charisma magazine ad. Professor, doctor, apostle, evangelistic, da-da-da-da-da, the third power. Come and learn how to walk in love. Ooh, I know he means business with God. You see how that mean mug he had on there? Praise God, he must be deep. But if you have to have a doctorate to turn your face into that, dear God. Well, this is what the Lord told me. He said, just like Jim has been here the whole time, the minister's job is to focus on the one who's been here the whole time. God has been here the whole time. Just like Jim has been here the whole time, the minister's job is to focus on the one where your help really comes from. Hallelujah. So guess what? You can be in the presence of Jehovah and still not feel Him. But the truth is, if He's everywhere, all the time, all at once, omnipresent, guess what? He's here. So it's carnal to say, I didn't feel Him. No, you just told on yourself. Because greater is He that is in... Oh, don't even get me started! Greater is He that is in... me than he that's in the world. So the good news is this. If nobody brought him, honey, you should have.
Right.
Come on, if nobody felt him, honey, you should.
Right.
Come on, why? Because he's in me. Somebody shout, he's in me.
In me.
Turn with me to Luke chapter 5. When's the Holy Ghost moving? all the time. So we got to learn when to flow with Him. Well, brother, you know what the Word says. It says sometimes He moves, sometimes He doesn't. Actually, I've never seen that before. Well, we're oftentimes misquoting 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and saying it's as the Spirit wills. And we misquote that because we would rather be irresponsible with the moving of the Spirit and almost pretend it doesn't happen than to possibly get embarrassed and laugh and fall out and roll on the floor and have severe, awesome change in your life. I would rather yield to the Holy Spirit, like Smith Wigglesworth said. I'd rather have the Holy Spirit on me for 5 minutes than own the entire world with a white picket fence around it. But Luke chapter 5, it says here in verse 1, are y'all all right tonight? And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon Him, Jesus, to hear the Word of God, He stood by the lake of Gennesaret. Every time your pastor gets up to speak, every time you have a minister in front of you, every time you come to church, you need to be pressing on heaven to hear the Word of God. You need to be pressing on the pastor to hear the Word of God. He needs to get up and say, you know what? I tell you right now, I'm going into pastures I haven't been in yet. And that's because you're hungry. You're leading. And listen, blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they might be filled if all the moons line up. It says they shall be filled. Matthew 5:6, blessed, empowered to prosper. Past tense, already. Got it now. You're blessed right now. Empowered to prosper already are they that what? Do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. This is going to trip your trigger, honey. Listen to me right now. You are in charge of your own infilling. Well, brother, come on, pastor, have somebody in anointed and lay hands on me and let's all just go crazy in here. That's fine. But the bottom line is this. You're the one in charge of your own infilling. How do I know? Because blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. That means you don't have to wait for pastor to come down. You don't have to wait for me to come down. You can get filled. You can get soaked. You can get drunk right there in your chair just because you're hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Hallelujah. In Luke chapter 5, we see they came and pressed upon Jesus. They were hungering and thirsting. There's a difference. When you're waiting until you're hungry and you're waiting until you're thirsty, usually that's too late. But when you're hungering and thirsting, it's an aggressive action, not a passive reaction. Come on, a lot of us don't even wait till we're hungry to go eat. You know what I'm saying? Come on, hey, what up? Hallelujah. We don't always wait. Why? Because we know that's when we're supposed to eat. Truthfully, I know pastor works out a lot. I'll tell you right now, there's people in here. Where's my brother? Right there. Is it Tony? Is that right? Tony, truthfully, tell me this. You don't always wait till you're hungry to eat, do you? If you're trying to get in 5 to 6 meals a day. Is that right? Because it speeds up your metabolism, it feeds your muscles, and you're not just pigging out on everything. Now, I mean, you're married, maybe things have changed. But the thing is when, before you were married, you know, your 5 to 6 meals, you had your proteins, you had all your macros, right? Everything was divvied out. And you made sure you didn't carb overload on the wrong days, and you made sure you did carb overload on the good days, right? So when you're working out, you had energy. The bottom line is what? You didn't always wait. You looked at your schedule and you chose, I'm eating here, whether I feel like it or not. I got to get these calories in. I got to get this protein. You're laughing, right? Because he almost broke your bank account with his food. All right, now. That's okay, man. Praise God. You look great, but here's the thing now. Why do we always wait till we're hungry before we go to church? Why do I wait till it's just right before I worship God? We always wait till my team's almost behind before I start changing the momentum on this thing. We got to be aggressive with our action, and instead of waiting till I'm hungry and thirsty, do what the Word says. I hunger and thirst after righteousness. That means that's my desire, whether I feel like it or not. That's what I choose to do, whether things are going wonderful or not. That's what I'm choosing to do. I'm pressing in on purpose. I'm hungering and thirsting after righteousness. The next verse says this. And he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. Underline verse 2, underline their nets. Notice it's plural there. But watch this. When Jesus comes on the scene, when is the Spirit of God moving? All the time. When does the Word of God move? All the time. But the thing is, there was a time, a medieval time, where the Spirit was only on three people. The prophet, the priest, and the king. And then special manifestations. And the Word was almost seemingly being held by certain ones, keeping it alive, a remnant, until Jesus came on the scene. John 1 says He's what? He is the Word. And so when He came in, He also had the Spirit without measure. We understand that His baptism in Matthew chapter 4 manifested and He had the Spirit now upon. But He also carried the Holy Spirit when He came on the sea. Now watch what happens. You've got Him walking on the seashore, which is between two elements. You've got the land and you've got the sea. You've got something that's stable and fixed and immovable, not going anywhere, next to something that has an ebb, a tide, a flow, waves, okay? Which is symbolic of the Spirit, and the land is symbolic of the solid Word of God. That's why when Jesus came on the scene, He was carrying both to bridge both. Ah, come on now. And so He sees Peter obviously in the boat and hadn't caught anything. Jesus is a smart man. But when He saw Peter, He was also compassionate, knowing that Peter hadn't caught anything, knowing that he'd probably been out all night, still didn't catch anything. And isn't it a shame when you have to work on a commission job, there's faith that's involved where you can pull in so much money that just your faith alone can pull it in. Then there's those times where there's a little bit of a famine and it seems like, is anything ever going to come to this thing? I'm working hours and hours and hours, weeks and weeks, and not seeing anything. It's terrible to smell like fish and look like you've been fishing and ain't got no fish. But I'm here to tell you right now, if you listen to me, this whole message will turn your life in a direction and launch you into favor you never thought possible. And I'm not just blowing smoke here. Listen to me. Come on. This is a powerful word that if you'll listen intently and hunger to hear the revelation that's here, it'll affect your finances, it'll affect your marriage, it'll affect your body, it'll affect your mind, it'll affect your entire lifestyle. Now watch this. He sees Peter in one of the boats washing nets because they still get dirty even when you don't catch anything. So what's he doing? Now he's preparing for the next possible day of possibly catching fish when he sees, obviously, he didn't catch anything at all. And listen, when you don't catch fish, there ain't no money. And when there ain't no money, we got a mad honey. Come on, are you hearing me? No mall money. Sorry, mall dinero. No mas. No más mal dinero. Sí?
Help him, Lord. Help him, Lord.
Bonita, por favor. It's pretty, please. Anyway, now. I was ministering in Mexico. Mexico. I was ministering there. And there ain't nothing like a gringo loco getting up and trying to spit some Spanish. I got up and I learned a word that I thought was kind of funny, you know, and I decided to play a trick on the pastor. Not that I like to do that, it just comes out.
You might not
want to. Feliz cumpleaños. And so he goes, you may not want to say it. I'll be good. I'll be bueno. Now listen, I get up and I said, your pastor has been teaching me things to say in Spanish to greet the wonderful people. And I said, so I want to try it to you right now. That's the interpreter. And I said, everyone, callate. Callate. From the bottom of my heart, callate, callate, callate. I say it my way. Anyway, okay. Okay. All right, callate. Now listen, that means shut up. I knew that. But I told them, the pastor was telling me how to greet the people. And all of Mexico began to fall out laughing under the power. How about that? I wish it was that easy in America. Shut up and then fall out and just start receiving. That don't work here. You say shut up, they'll shoot you. But in Mexico, they love it. But anyway, so Peter's washing his nets. He's probably tired. He's probably hungry. He's probably a little concerned, let's be honest, when the next paycheck's coming, because he didn't go out there just because he loves to fish. He went out there because as a fisherman, I want to get paid to do what I love. But if you don't catch fish, the love kind of goes down real quick. But Jesus, being pressed on by the people, got into Peter's boat by Peter's permission. He said, "Peter, can I get in your boat?" And he said, "Thrust out a little from the land so that I can minister to the people." Now, Peter doesn't know Jesus. Jesus doesn't know Peter. But what Peter doesn't understand is the word and the seed just got in his boat to change his life. Woo! You hear what I'm saying? So listen now, he gets in the boat and begins to teach the people from the boat the Word of God. Now you got to understand, there's an ambiance effect. There's a crowd thronging, and it goes to the left and to the right and deep. So jumping in the boat had twofold. He got in the boat to thrust out a little so that he could reach his audience, sure, verbally, and his voice would carry, and they would hear the Word of God, and that was important to Jesus. And what did Jesus go doing everywhere he went? He went preaching, teaching, and healing. We could say he was bringing inspiration, revelation, and demonstration everywhere he went, and he was always ministering on the kingdom of God. Now, the kingdom of God is not the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is a place. The kingdom of God is a system, an operating system by which you and I are being taught, even now, right now, how to operate here on this earth, how to have heavenly results in an earthly realm. Kingdom of God stuff. That means where there is no way, you can make a way. Where there ain't no money, you can call it in. Come on. Where somebody's got a tumor, you can speak to it and it disappears. I'm talking kingdom of God, increased stuff. And that's what he went teaching everywhere he went. Now listen, he's teaching on the kingdom of God and increase here. I believe that because it says he went everywhere teaching that. Well, why wouldn't Peter be getting blessed by that same message? Who needs this message and is hearing this message, it should be blessing him with this message. But what we see here is Peter, come on now, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Who is the Word of God? Jesus is the Word. He's full of the Spirit. So the Word and the Spirit are now in Peter's boat where there was famine and desolation and lack. But Jesus is speaking the Word by the Spirit on increase, sowing seed into this man's life, into his boat, into his business, and Peter's oblivious to why this man's even in his boat. But the thing is, because it wasn't an importunity for him to give the boat to the master, he still had to wash the rest of his nets. So he saw the people pressing upon the rabbi to hear the word. He did his religious duty and said, "Sure, you can borrow my boat because it's not an importune time." Oh, I'm going to prove this out. I see y'all looking at me. Come on now. Watch this. It wasn't something that was going to inconvenience Peter at the time. When you start serving Jesus, your plans will get inconvenienced. But when you follow His plan in your inconvenience, when you step into the convenience of His plan, you'll forget about your inconvenience over here. Just grateful my mother could make it tonight. No, I'm being... I didn't even see who did it, so don't get offended. I don't want to be related to him. So Peter allows Jesus with a religious duty to give the word. Why not? People are pressing upon Jesus. Jesus has an audience behind him when he turns and says, "Peter, can I use your boat?" Wow. What's he going to say? "And there's other boats." But he didn't. So faith comes by, and hearing by. Now watch this. This is going to mess you up again, but it's going to help your theology. Just because you hear it don't mean you got it. That's how it comes, but that doesn't mean you got it. I said faith comes by hearing, but that doesn't mean just because you heard it, you got it. How do I know? Because corresponding actions tells me if you got it or not. Acting on the word you heard is what tells me where faith is good. Come on now, there's a cycle. Let me use you, brother. Come here real quick. Come on, Jehovah Andre, come here. Now listen, stop right here. The word of God comes to us in seed form. This is the seed of the word of God. This is the result called my faith from the seed, dear God, of the word of God. Feel sorry for the horse you ate before you got here. Wow. Okay, now listen. When the word gets sown, and that means I hear it, just because it's sown doesn't mean I'll let it grow. I've got to choose to let it grow. That's why Mark 4 talks about the sower sowed the word, but some fell on shallow ground and it sprung up immediately but didn't have root. So it doesn't bear fruit. But dear God, we're going to let it take root and we're going to bear fruit. So I get the word of God. It comes to me. I latch on to it. But I've got to act on the seed that I hear so that I can take what he says and hook up with Big Daddy here. Now look at us. This is somebody who's allowed faith to come, and because I heard the Word of God and I acted on the Word of God, now I've got the results of the Word of God. Come on. So now, when the enemy comes, let me give you an example. Now I need somebody that'll be a devil. Really? You're in the middle, although you would have made a wonderful demon. Listen. Ladies and gentlemen, Carl Lucifer. All right, now. It's my own private thing. I can't even shut it down when I'm trying to sleep. It's like, did I?
Yeah.
I said it? I didn't even know it. All right, now listen. The enemy comes. And he's attacking me with his black shirt and dark oppressive nature. Come on. Whatever it is, it's the attack of the enemy. What a happy devil.
I need you to go.
Take three.
Yeah, right? Carl Lucifer, take two. Get the claws out. You got to be menacing. I'm about to call that woman out. I mean, listen. All right. Face change. Makeup. Anger. Fangs. Everything. Fangs. Claws. Come on, man. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, come on. I need you to hiss and things like this. Okay, now. Sickness attacks me. So what do I do?
Okay.
Callate! All right, so anyway, he's attacking me, the devil. If I just stay here and try to fight it in my flesh, guess what? I can speak the word, you know, and just try to get something to happen, and nothing will happen until I realize that me speaking the word isn't trying to get something to happen. It's the seed of the word that I've connected with to start declaring what I already have, not trying to get something I don't think I have. Then when I say, I'm already healed by the stripes of Jesus Christ, now when the attack comes, it's facing... And when you get the Word of God in you and you start letting the Spirit of God get in you, the devil can't tell if he's looking at you or looking at Jesus. Come on now. Hallelujah. So when the attack comes and I've been flowing with him, I'm not speaking the Word in retreat. I'm actually moving ahead with all of us. Come on now. Hallelujah. Glory! That was awesome. I'll tell you what. The devil had them working. And he's still smiling. So the Word of God coming is not enough. It's what you do with it. Come on, him just being here should be enough, but it's not. I got to respond. And my wife walked in right now, and you know, she's back home with the family in Tulsa. But if she walked in right now and be like, hey, I'll get to you in a minute. You know, come on now. I would stop and I would run to her, even if they didn't have Chariots of Fire queued up. I would be running. Dun, 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 dun. I would be running towards her in slow motion just to make, and then pick her up, you know, and say, everybody, this is my queen. This is my wife. This is my best friend. This is my lover. But you know what? That's how we should be when it comes to running into people about Jesus. This is my Savior. This is my King. This is my love. Come on now. It's just amazing to me that Peter was in the same boat as the Word. The Word was speaking the Word. The Word was planting seed into Peter. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word. Yet Peter didn't have faith for what he heard. Whoa. That's why we can come to church on Sundays, hear a great message and hear wonderful teaching and still go away and go, I didn't get nothing. I don't know why everybody's running and shouting and excited. I'll tell you right now, I didn't get nothing. Yeah, but listen to me. You sure did. It may not be as big as you want it, but the seed is going to bring the big harvest you desire. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. Glory to God. Yeah, and so what ends up happening is the Word did go forth, and everybody out here was excited about what they heard. Jesus turns at the end of his message when Peter finished washing all of his nets, folded up the last one, threw it in the bag, and said, all right, let's go to lunch. Good message. Jesus says, now, launch out into the deep and let down your nets, plural, for a harvest of fish. If he wasn't speaking on increase, then what was he demonstrating right there? He was getting ready to show everybody that was hungering and thirsting and pressing on him the demonstration of the Word of God. Now, watch this. Peter, launch out into the deep. Let's show him what I was talking about. You should be able to do this. You heard the same word they did. Are you ready, son? Let's go. Well, what does Peter do? He doesn't jump up and down going, woo, come on, give me some love. Man, it was tough last night. Thank you, thank you, thank you. What did he do? He started reasoning. When you start reasoning out the things of God, you just told me your thoughts are your God. You need a group hug real quick. Come here. Come on. Come on. When we start reasoning, we're actually allowing possibly the thoughts of the enemy and the thoughts that we have to become our God. Why? Because if Jesus said we can do it and we reason out that we can't, we just said he's a liar and my word's the truth. Now you may be saying, how is this word going to get me healed tonight? The presence of God is here. The anointing of God is here. There's healing in His Word. It can't just be, I mean, some people need healing in their finances, healing in their mind. Listen, there's healing going forth. There's miracles manifesting in here. I'm telling you, even through just the hearing of the Word of God, people sitting, we've proven that in two services, just sitting, hearing the Word of God, healings were manifesting. And I'll be honest with you, and I don't think it's going to be that way forever. I think things are changing. But even through the ministry of the Word of God, I believe more people were healed in these last two services than some churches had an entire year. I believe that. Now watch this. Peter didn't get excited when the second word, the personal word of the message went on to bringing the message to his boat, to his life, to his bank account, said these words, launch out into the deep, let down your nets that you just cleaned. Come on now. Sometimes we got to clean up some stuff for Jesus to use. And he says, launch out, let down your nets for a harvest or draught of fish. How many times has God told you to launch out to do something or led you to do something but didn't give you the end result? Oh, Peter must be a stubborn cat. I thank God for Peter, though. Makes me feel better about myself. Anyway, so he ends up launching out, right, immediately? No. What did he do? He started arguing with the Lord. Oh, this is getting good now. You know how I know? Because we're all getting quiet and getting antsy and you're shifting around on your end times a little too much there. I'm like, glory to God, just turn the other cheek. Now listen, Simon answered and said, Master, well, why wouldn't he? He heard the word. He respects him. We, not me. He goes, what do you mean we? I didn't tell we. I said you. Go launch out into the deep. But isn't that amazing whenever we're wanting sympathy, how we bring in all of us in there? We, now maybe he was bipolar, I don't know. But anyway, he said, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Isn't that amazing? Because we have had ministers preaching this for years. Their message is even called Nevertheless. And they don't even do it Nevertheless anymore. Now it's Nevertheless. Come on, you see it on TV. You just got to be like Peter. Ha! You just got to do like Simon did. Glory to God. You just got to have a nevertheless. Ha! You just got to be a nevertheless. Ha! Kind of person. Look at your neighbor, touch three people and say, nevertheless. Ha! Nevertheless. Ha! That ain't helping, man. The lines are still open. Anyway. A joke for me. All right, now, you know, they're getting in there. They're going, nevertheless, nevertheless, oh, just like Moses. He was there and he parted the Red Sea. Just like Jesus called out that man from the tomb. Just like Gilligan got off the island. You know, come on now. And they're just preaching all kinds of nonsense. And you're like, just because it sounds good and preaches good don't mean it's right. Look at your neighbor and say, nevertheless, just like Gilligan got off the island. You got to get that note out there. All right, Gilligan. Or how about this? So I can bring us into it. Just like George Jefferson started moving on up. Come on now. They don't know nothing about the 70s in here. Come on, man. I'm telling you. But I'm moving on up, nevertheless. So what happens now is he says, launch out into the deep. But the problem is when you start saying, Master, I've toiled all the night. That doesn't sound like somebody that's ready to act on the word they just heard. And Master, we've taken nothing. Well, that's good, just in case Jesus didn't see the fish that weren't there. Come on, now, is anybody else's prayer life like that at times when you're basically giving him a CNN report? Now, God, you know that if I had this happen in prayer school when I was a student. Somebody saw me driving in my fancy car back in the day, you know, when I'm a single guy, you know, they didn't realize all your money went to the car. Hallelujah. But anyway, and so you're driving around. You always had somebody that couldn't make tuition that day or that month that's over there in prayer school that knows that they think you got money. And then they go over and they kneel down to you when it's time to pray. And they're over there going, Lord, you know that if I don't pay my tuition today, that they'll kick me out. And you know the call of God I got on my life. And you move down further. And then they come over and they start in again. And you're like, are you kidding me? If you saw a bird's eye view, it's like this. And then he goes into praying in tongues, this guy. I remember. And he would always pray, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Just like that. I'm like, would you pray through? It's like that one word, do-do-do-do-do-do. I'm like, I turned to him and I said, the Lord's trying to tell you He wants to deliver you of that dodo spirit. And so, you know, we pray that way sometimes. We keep telling the Lord as if He doesn't know what's going on. We need to pray the answer, not the highlight of the problem. And so He looks at Jesus and says, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Well, what was the word? Come on now. Let down the nets, plural, But he said, nevertheless, I will let down the net, singular. And it's in the Greek. It's differentiated between plural and singular. Now, this is the kicker. If he was really obeying like we preach, it doesn't matter as long as his word is so. As long as his word says that, you've got to be like Peter and be nevertheless. No matter what he says, nevertheless. And it preaches good and it sounds good, but you don't want to be like Peter in this position. I know you don't hear this often, but the truth is this. If he really were obedient, he would have thrown out the nets after he launched out into the deep and said, let's go get them. But what did he do? He started arguing with the Lord and pleading his case, telling him now why it's inconvenient for him to obey. It wasn't inconvenient when he was washing the nets, but now it's inconvenient that you need me to do something. Come on, have you ever been in an offering where it was inconvenient at the amount the Lord told you to sow? Hello, if you haven't been there yet, you probably don't have a big harvest coming yet. I've been there. When he says, sow this amount, and I'm like, I bind you, Satan, for speaking to me during the offering. I was with a minister. He said, come on, I don't want you to be standing this whole time. Carl Lucifer, good job, by the way. Your darkness was amazing. Now listen, thank God for Carlos, honestly. I love this guy. We hit it off from the beginning. And this, he's a dear, dear friend. And he's got such a big heart. I love this man. And isn't it awesome? When you get tired of closing your eyes, you can look up and still worship God by watching him. Awesome. Love you guys. Come here. Spirit of God's all over you. You don't need this word, but the Lord says, yes, he does. You didn't come expecting and needing anything because your heart's so big and you just love God so much. But this is what he said. And this may sound so generic, but it's not from God. It's not when it's coming straight from his throne room. Lift your hands, Carlos. Even though it's my voice speaking this, hear this from heaven. This is the Lord saying this to you. He's saying, son, I'm proud of you. Son, I believe in you. Son, I've anointed you. Son, I love you. And he said it in that way. Son, son, son. Ah, you're not going to feel that loneliness anymore. That void is getting filled right now in Jesus' name. And your heart is such a heart of worship. Oh, but the Lord said all you've had so far is a glimpse for what you're stepping in from this moment forward. My God, the fire is just going through my hand. It's going to burn in your thoughts. Ha 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 ha. It's going to burn in your heart. Ha 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 ha. And it's going to burn in your belly. Ha ha ha. And that's all going to begin to flow out of you when you minister in music, when you're playing your instruments. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord, and thank you for healing his ears right now. In Jesus' name. Pick him back up. Lift your hands. You're going to do this. When I say now. Oh, are you putting that in the offering? Thank you. Listen, when I say now, with your right foot, you're going to take a huge step forward because that's what you're doing. You're stepping in to the fullness that God has for you. Now. Yeah. I know it's heavy on you. I know. But once you do, you'll be glad that you launched out into the deep, says the Lord. Good. Fire! Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Fresh. So now, if he heard the word and he was full of expectation, he wouldn't have been arguing with the Lord. I'm getting ready to close with this. Just give me a few minutes here. This is important because I'm only with you tonight now at this point. Listen to me. Why did Jesus not go, thank you? Thank you for doing that. Thank you for going and launching out. Why did he not do that? Because the word that went forth is considered truth. And truth doesn't argue. You can make it whatever you want it to be. You can argue it. You can twist it. You can manipulate it. But the bottom line is this. He once gives you the word will not change how he gave it to you because truth cannot be altered and it does not argue. And when he gets there, he says, nevertheless, I'll let down the net. Why? Because think about this. You got this crowd that's looking at you, watching the Lord and seeing if you're going to obey. He's now dealing with peer pressure. He's dealing with the pressure of the Lord. He's dealing with the pressure of, yeah, I want this, but he'd already resolved in his mind it ain't happening today. When I cleaned up my nets, I put it in the bag, I'm done, got to go home and tell Mrs. Simon that this ain't happening. Come on. I'll go out again next day. I'll go out and we'll work it. We'll try and get the fish. I know they're out there, but they just weren't biting, so to speak, today. But Jesus said, it doesn't matter if it doesn't look like they're biting. It doesn't matter if it doesn't look like they're not there. It just, listen, just because you don't see it doesn't mean it ain't there. So He said this. He said, launch out and go get your harvest. Notice when the harvest came after Jesus sowed the word. Yeah. Oh, this is going to make you laugh. This is going to make you leap and jump and dance and shout. Once he got out there, he let down the net, but Jesus didn't try to stop him. Why? Because truth doesn't argue. When he got out there and he let down the net, were there fish? Right where Jesus said they were. And when he let down the net, what happened to the net? Oh, you ready to shout? There were fish that knew their assignment. They were all racing and fighting each other to get into the one net that was let down when they said, listen, we don't know if there's another net coming out or not, but this is my harvest. This is my assignment. I am part of Peter's harvest. Get in that net. Hallelujah. But when you see that Peter did not obey, now don't argue with me because this is what it said right there. Jesus said, let down the nets. But when he didn't obey, he didn't really flat out disobey. It was a form of disobedience, but it's in disguise and it's called compromise. Come on, remember that time I told you the Lord said to sow a certain amount and I started binding Satan? It was real easy to cut that thing in half because, hey, listen, I wasn't going to give anything, Lord. You told me to give 100. How about I give 50? Capiche? We're all blessed. No, because he knows what's coming up. He ain't trying to get stuff. You can't give that revelation. You want to. You want to download it into people. But God is not trying to steal your stuff that He owns anyway.
Right. Right.
He's trying to get you more stuff of what He has.
Right.
If He'll, why does He have you so your stuff that He says is yours, it, that He owns anyway? Why is, because you're connected with your stuff with your heart. It was Peter's boat. It was Peter's net. It was Peter's time. And Jesus was saying, since you sowed your boat into me, since you sowed your time into me, let me use those clean nets so I can give you... Oh, thank you, Jesus. Do you realize that the harvest that comes to us is still just seed coming from God? What we call a harvest, he's just like, I'm just giving you more seed. Are you really getting excited? That's wonderful. But here now, I was in a meeting and this man of God was saying, ask the Lord what He would have you to sow. Don't get nervous. We already did the offering. Here we go. Now listen, he said to him, my pastor at the time said to him, take your liberty. And he took his liberty during the offering and it changed my life. We had, this is the early days, we had $200 left in the account. No, $100 left in the account. I'm sorry, that's low. And we needed $200 the next day to put out a series that I was working on at the time by faith. And I'm like, I don't know how we're going to do it, but we needed it. But we were calling in money every day, and it would come in, 10s, 20s, you know, the amounts I was sowing. And it was coming in. And I said, Lord, what would you have me to sow? He told me to bump it up, and He said, sow $100. Well, I knew that was the devil. Come on. I mean... Why would God ask me to give a Ben Franklin? You know what I'm saying? Every time you see a rapper flaunting a bunch of hundreds, come on now. Every time you see some sports figure just flaunting a bunch of money, they're probably holding seed you should have sown. That's your harvest. And the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. So don't get uptight or mad. But when you see these MTV cribs or whatever, why are you watching MTV anyway? But you see these cribs and all this going on, and you know, you see these cars and all, don't get uptight. They're just taking care of your harvest temporarily. All right. So here now, the Lord said to me, He goes, I want you to sow 100. I thought it was Satan. I bound him. I really did. I said, in Jesus' name, get off of me. And I was like, it didn't feel like anything left. And the Lord said, are you going to stop binding me? And I went, oh man, Father, forgive me. But surely you know our condition. All we have is 100. Why would you have us give everything? Now, ask your spouse what God told your spouse. Come together in agreement and sow it in agreement if you're married. I'm like, good. Now I got a way out. I looked over and I said, honey, what's he telling you? Well, honey, I don't want to tell you. What do you mean you don't want to tell me? She goes, what did he tell you? You tell me first. I mean, they're almost done with the offering, all right? You know, I mean, come on. And she says, I don't want to tell you. It's a lot. And I said, well, what's a lot to you? She goes, $100, and that's all we have in the account. I said, Satan, get off of my wife, too. You will not transfer off of me. You will not mess with my family anymore. All right, so I knew we were hearing from God. It was hard, but we sowed that $100, and we took it up to the front. And when we turned around, a man came up to us that we knew now, but at the time, put an envelope in my hand and an envelope in her hand. And we went back, and he said, now worship God right where you're at. And we just put it in our pockets. We didn't think anything about it. I wasn't thinking. We got our minds so focused on God that when we were driving home, she said, hey, remember that man? He gave us an envelope. What did you look at yours? I said, did you look at yours? She goes, no. We opened it up. She was given $500. I was given $500. Oh, wait a minute now. Before I even left the building, by obedience, we ended up getting, oh my goodness, $1,000 for the 100 we sowed. We had enough for the tape series. We had enough for other bills. Come on now, praise God. He cares about us. He wasn't trying to get anything from me to prove my loyalty and to prove that I'm a good person and that I love Him. He wasn't trying to make me go through hell and high water. He was trying to get something to me. He's trying to get something to Peter. So what happens when all the fish shove in to this net? It breaks. Are y'all with me here? Just give me a few more minutes. Come on. The net breaks. So where do the fish go when the net breaks? Back in the water. Now listen. Fish are smart. Any fishermen in here? I thought I smelled something. I didn't know that. Right? Oh, wait, listen. We got... Are you good? A lot of fishermen are also good with music. You should hear what they do with scales. It's amazing. Another meter of how much you prayed today. You all do this to Brother Mark Hankins too? His jokes are horrible. Anyway, now, and I love him. Maybe it's the way he delivers it. I tell you right now, you know what I mean? They're so bad, they're funny. You know what I mean? Just, anyway, so the reason why you caught a fish and it jumped off the hook and it was hard to catch again is because they figured that out, that a hook in their mouth, that's not normal. So they stop going after your bait, and this proves that fish are smart. After all, they travel in schools. Look, Kayate. Lord, tough crowd, dear God. So anyway, Mike's over there shaking his head. He's like, it ain't gotten any better since I last heard it. All right, anyway. Now, he now goes and gets the other nets he had cleaned. And he's not debating whether it's a good idea to put him in the water now, is he? Now it's no longer inconvenient. So he starts dropping down all these other nets. And as he's putting out those other nets, The fish are smart. How come they did? Is there a mouse that's absolutely being tortured by ISIS back here or something? What's going on? No, it's not. Praise God. We had confirmation it's not. But probably a demonic mouse going, I can't take this one. And they disguise themselves as Jehovah Witness mouse. Because they come to the door and we're here to tell you about Jesus. Anyway, so... Are you available for counseling after I counsel you guys? Okay, no, he said no. You're freaking me out. Pastor's going. Fish are smart. When you catch a fish, they go in the water, they're gone. But he starts letting out more nets. And because it's a harvest, they only know it's not to swim away time, it's to get in that man's possession. That's why sometimes when we get a bunch of money that comes to us because we don't know how to handle it, that we let out a net and we burn a hole in our pocket, the word says, you know, the cliche is. So what happens is he starts throwing in these nets and catching fish and catching fish and catching fish, so much so he beckons unto the partners that also, listen to this, that heard the same word that Jesus gave to Peter and the same word that Jesus was ministering to those on the seashore. Come on. They also were like, we didn't catch no fish. And if Peter's going to catch fish, then we're going to go out and see if he catches fish too. There must have been something so convincing in what Jesus was saying that those that Jesus wasn't even talking to wasn't even in their boat. There was enough authority and conviction when he said, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught of fish. It was enough for the partners to follow Peter out to the water thinking that if he's going to catch some fish, we're going to catch some fish. That's why it's so important to be hooked up with your pastor, be hooked up with Spectrum Church, and be hooked up with different ministries. Why? Because the same harvest of fish that they're catching, if you'll just come on and hang out with them. Hallelujah. Come on now, there's going to be a time when we can't get it all. There's got to be something that you get. There's sometimes that you can't get it all. Your partners have to get. Amen. So here's what happens. The fish are now coming into the boat and Peter starts dealing with another issue besides fear. It's based on fear, but now he's not just dealing with there ain't nothing out there. Now he's dealing with this thought. I better get as much as I can because we'll never see this again. And greed began to sink his boat. Jesus wasn't saying, launch out to get this haul, you'll never get it again. He was letting him know, go out and get this, but the same way you got this, you carry that same kingdom of God in you. Ah. So that means then when you get a harvest, stop looking at it as, well, this is all it's going to be. I'm never going to get anything anymore. This is it. This is the biggest I've ever seen. The biggest harvest you've ever seen is now your new starting point. Come on, are you getting this? But greed was sinking his boat. When the boat sinks, where do the fish go? Back in the water. You know, if you were a harvest called a fish at that time, you'd got to be looking at each other going, is this guy stupid? I've been in the boat. I know, three times. Me, I've been five. I've been there five. Come on now. Are you going to go for it again? Yeah, it's my assignment. Believe it or not, I'm supposed to be with this guy. But listen. When was it that it hit Peter that he had compromised? Isn't it amazing? It says it's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. This is going to mess you up. Oh, it's going to be good, but it's going to mess you up. When Peter came to Jesus, he fell down at his knees and said, depart from me, O Lord, for I am a sinful man. Are you ready for this? Wasn't he a sinful man before he got in his boat? Wasn't he a sinful man when he told him to launch out into the deep? Wasn't he a sinful man when he was pulling in that harvest? The answer is yes, 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 and yes. Well, if he'll do this for a sinner, what will he do for a child of God? Oh, you're not hearing me. If He'll do that for a sinner, what will He do for you? What will He do for me? He died on the cross for me. I received Jesus not into my boat. I received Him into my heart. Glory to God. If He wasn't a simple man, and He was already simple, why did He just now come to that realization? Jesus never said anything other than, launch out into the deep and let down your nets. Plural. It was when He realized that when He did it on His own, things broke. It's when He did it on His own, He wasn't getting everything that was His. When we keep wanting to receive it a certain way, you've already been given it. But if you don't receive it the way He says to receive it, and you're doing it your way because God knows your heart, we don't get everything that He says we have. Come on, this is good. Come on, if I were in this service, I'd be running around the place. So why did He say, depart from me? He said, from this day forward, you will catch men. Now, this is the part I wanted to shout about. Because this is where it comes home. If He do it for a sinner, what will He do for a child of God? What will He do for you if He did that for a sinner? Now watch this. Peter didn't know where his next paycheck was coming from. Peter was working on commission. He was tired. Notice he didn't mention anything about tired and toiling all night and the sacrifice at this point. Why? Because he's had all these fish and he'd never seen a haul like this ever before. And he didn't even care that his partners were getting in on it too. That's how much came in. All right. Now, where do you think that Jesus started off with the treasury? Where do you think He got the treasury from? All of that fish turned into money. From this day forward, you will catch men. God wants to use your job. God wants to use your talents. God wants to use your nets. God wants to use your boat. God wants to use your stuff. If you just give Him what you got, He'll give you what He has. And actually, all you're doing is accessing what He's already said is yours. So when He said, launch out into the deep and get your harvest of fish, it was already His. It was already assigned to Him. And even though He kept having nets break, even though He had the ship sink and the fish going overboard, it didn't matter. The fish were like, I'm still yours, sucker. Yeah. Yeah. I'm telling you, healing is still yours. Yeah. Prosperity is still yours. Here it is. He didn't know where his next paycheck was coming from. He didn't know what was going to happen when he got home. Come on, finances can do some crazy things with the home. But he was able to go from where's my next paycheck coming from to the next minute retiring. He was able to retire off of one haul of obedience. Even in the form of compromise. Never said he didn't go back to fishing. Never said, but the thing is, he didn't have to now. Now he could go with a surplus of money and go with the Lord and have all of his needs met everywhere they went. Come on, they had a treasury with all the money that came in. This is awesome because even the Lord knew, I'm going to teach you how to catch men. When's the Holy Ghost moving? Right now. All the time. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. How many were healed in this service without hands even being laid on you? You came in with pain. You came in with a lump, a bump, a growth, a tumor. You came in with the ache. You came in with something. You just felt squirrely. And all of a sudden, something in you is just different. You're healed. The pain's gone. Whatever. Wave at me. Somebody wave at me. Look at this right here again. Over here. What was happening with this lady right here? What was going on? This morning, what about tonight's service? Anybody come in with any kind of pain right now, just stand to your feet. I'm telling you, you're already healed. Yeah, I mean, you know, the thing is, probably everybody got healed. I'm not trying to be funny, but we've had that before where everybody's been so quickly and instantly healed that all we get to do now is party in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. What's party without a music? DJ! Ladies and gentlemen, this man can play anything. I want to introduce to you the Hispanic Prince. I want you right now to stand to your feet. There's some people's financial conditions that are changing. How many in here, I just believe with all of my heart, things have already begun to change with some people. There, miracles happen in all the realms. I've seen it in spirit, I've seen it in soul, I've seen it in body. I've seen